of Ben David, who is the anchor on I-24 daily news program in Jerusalem and in Israel. However, we turn to the matter of a visit of the Secretary of State. Malcolm?
Yes, it's good to have you, Caleb, and at a very hectic time in Israel, facing the recent visit of Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, and the upcoming visit of Secretary of State Blinken. What will be the focus of the Secretary of State's visit and cumulative impact of both his and Jake Sullivan's visit? Is it regional? Is it local?
Well, it's both, I would say, Malcolm. First of all, in local, the overall importance here is that this is the first visit of Secretary Blinken to visit the new government in Israel, the government which is headed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, of course, who has long experience in dealing with the United States and with officials like Tony Blinken. But of course, this is a new government. It's some call it the most right-wing government in Israel's history. Benjamin Netanyahu maybe is one of the more moderate figures in it. And of course, that puts it a little at odds with the Biden administration on some issues. So I think the overall most important thing is just establishing that relationship, that dialogue between this new government in Israel and the Biden administration and Secretary Blinken. The specifics, of course, for Israel, the overriding issue is Iran and the Iranian threat. We've heard from the Biden administration that they've and from Secretary Blinken that the Iran nuclear deal that Israel opposes has been put to the side now. And so the question is what to do next? What's plan B? How to deal with the Iran nuclear program, which is progressing, whether military action may be involved. So for Israel, undoubtedly, that's the overriding issue. For Secretary Blinken, there are other issues he'll want to address. The Palestinian issue, of course, is important to the Biden administration. It's concerned about Israel's relations with other countries in the region, like Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, that are also very invested into the Palestinian issue. So, of course, he'll want to bring that up as well and try to find some common ground with a government which is taking a tougher line against the Palestinians.
Caleb, I see from the reporting that the secretary will go on to Cairo to meet with President el-Sisi. What is the way to understand the relation between Jerusalem and Cairo today? How are these relations? Does the new government change the direction of conversation?
Well, that is a fascinating subject, John, because for years, of course, initially Egypt, Israel's only peace partner in the Arab world, then joined by Jordan. Of course, Egypt, along with Turkey and Israel, the major power in the Middle East, there's been a cold peace between Egypt and Israel for many years, a formal peace, but no warmth in that relationship, clashes on several issues, especially the Palestinian issue. Things had been starting to warm up following the Abraham Accords because of Israel's new relations and warmer relations with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, and that has spilled over a little bit to the relations between Cairo and Jerusalem. But the question, again, is how that relationship is going to develop with this new government headed by Prime Minister Netanyahu. And I expect Anthony Blinken will be taking messages back from Jerusalem, from Prime Minister Netanyahu to President Sisi in Egypt on several issues. And still, those main ones, the Palestinian issue, Cairo's deeply invested, but also the Iranian issue, because countries we call the moderate Sunni Arab countries, like Egypt, like Saudi Arabia, like the Gulf states, are just as much concerned about the Iranian challenge, Iranian threat, as Israel is.
Malcolm?
When Prime Minister Netanyahu met with King Abdullah this week, it was coming in a time of increased tension, but also they discussed, I guess, increased cooperation. So was the meeting a surprise to you? What do you believe will come out of it? And how does the massive Juniper Oak exercise impact Israel's friends and enemies in the region? Do they get a message that the United States and Israel are on the same page now?
Right. So first of all, it was a surprise to everyone. It was a surprise visit, only announced an effort was done. But it wasn't totally unexpected because it came after this visit by a member of the new government, a national security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, to the Temple Mount site in Jerusalem, a holy religious site both for Jews and Muslims. And the King of Jordan, as the Hashemite ruler, sees that he has a special custodianship on that site. So that visit did cause tensions, and it's significant that Prime Minister Mr. Netanyahu felt he had to go in person, meet with King Abdullah to sort of diffuse the tensions on that. But of course, along with those differences on the Palestinian issue, Jordan and Israel are much more deeply connected economically than we were in the past. Israel provides water, fresh water to Jordan through its desalination plants. It provides natural gas to Jordan. So there's deeper economic cooperation between them. So it also, the relationship also runs on that track. And yes, also the Iran issue, another factor, and the Juniper Oak exercise you mentioned, Malcolm, the biggest joint exercise, military exercise ever, it's been called, between Israel and the United States, is tended to send a message to Iran that the United States, despite the war in Ukraine, despite challenges in Asia with China, is still engaged in the Middle East, still sees Israel's security as paramount, and is conscious of what is happening in Iran now that the nuclear deal has been put aside, and the fact that I would almost call it a warning to Iran of what could come if it proceeds down its current path, especially its nuclear program.
Caleb, there's a very important election this year in Turkey, and President Erdogan running for election. Of course, domestic matters dominate. But the question here is Ankara and Jerusalem. Do you see advantage or disadvantage for the Israeli government with regard to Erdogan's campaigning?
Well, it is interesting, because if you would ask me that question a year ago, John, I would have said a disadvantage, because President Erdogan had basically was seen, now I won't say an enemy, but certainly a critic and maybe an adversary of sorts to Israel. He had suspended relations with Israel, diplomatic relations, I should say, economic relations went on, but he had suspended diplomatic relations with Israel, one of the harshest regional critics of Israel on the Palestinian issue. But that has changed over the past year because of several factors. Turkey now also having its concerns over Iran. It sees where the Arab world is going with the Abraham Accords. And also, I mentioned natural gas before. A huge issue for Turkey wants to develop that natural gas in the eastern Mediterranean. These huge reserves, Israel has been leading the way on that. Turkey wants to cooperate with Israel on that, maybe a pipeline from the eastern Mediterranean to that. So it's very much changed the relationship. We've even seen close security cooperation. Turkey acting to prevent an Iranian terrorist operation directed against Israelis in Turkey over the past 6 months. So Israel, of course, still has its concerns about President Erdogan, but the relationship has dramatically changed. And it'll be interesting to see if for Erdogan, he's got his domestic challenges. This could be the toughest election he's faced within Turkey, mainly because of economics.
Malcolm?
Could you quickly assess for us what you think is going to be next for the Abraham Accords? Saudi Arabia, obviously a major focus of attention. Do you think Juniper Oak will help persuade them that U.S. is committed to the region, and with Israel and they more moving closer and closer in terms of security and military cooperation, that they will come on board?
It's interesting you say that, Malcolm, because I'm sure you know this group of senators, bipartisan senators from the Abraham Accords caucus, was just in Israel, visited all four countries connected with the Abraham Accords. We should mention Morocco, too. They had a press conference this week in Washington, and they said they want, even the Democrats said, they want to see the Biden administration take more positive, more active, proactive steps to strengthen the Abraham Accords and perhaps expand them to Saudi Arabia and maybe improve the relationship with Riyadh, maybe work towards military cooperation. A lot of talk about maybe a joint rapid deployment force in the Persian Gulf to protect the shipping there from Iranian provocations. So certainly the U.S., the road to Riyadh for Jerusalem is probably going to have to go through Washington. And yes, that's something that's going to be key for the Biden administration to be proactive on that front. And we'll see. The Saudis say they do want to see progress on this, on the Palestinian front. That's difficult for this current Netanyahu government, but perhaps diplomacy will override some domestic political concerns for Benjamin Netanyahu. We'll have to see.
Caleb Ben-David is the anchor for I-24 New Daily News Program in Israel. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.